to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
James Edwards, indeed. I am back, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome, my friends, to the Political Cesspool radio program, live broadcast, as it always is, Saturday night, this Saturday happening to be May 26th, coming to you from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to a worldwide audience that grows bigger each and every week at thepoliticalcesspool.org, a special holiday broadcast of the Political Cesspool weekend edition, Memorial Day weekend, special only because we're here live and we're not playing a tape like so many other talk radio hosts are wont to do on special occasions. No, we are always here. Unless a Saturday happens to fall on Christmas Day, you can count on us being here live and bringing you a program. Last week was a very good show. I wasn't here for it, but I listened to it in the newly revamped broadcast archive that Liberty News Radio made available to our audience a couple of weeks ago. Bill Rowland and Keith Alexander, what a magnificent job they did, as they always do on the rare occasions that I happen to be gone on family business. Last week, my wife and I went out of town to attend the wedding of one of my first cousins, more like a brother than a cousin, and we were down there, and the wedding just so happened to be taking place during the middle of the show, so it would have been hard for me to be with you as much as I wanted to be, but I'll tell you, it happens 2, 3, maybe 4 times a year. I have to be gone on a Saturday night for one reason or another. And it makes the heart grow fonder, absence does, as they say, and it is true. I always look forward to the show, but on a night like this, it's been exactly 2 weeks since the last time I was in the studio with you, and I am red hot and ready to rock tonight as Keith Alexander joins me in studio again, ladies and gentlemen, for this live broadcast Memorial Day weekend. We hope everyone out there, wherever you're listening in to from tonight, is having a great Memorial Day weekend thus far, and we hope that it only gets better as Monday comes and everybody's off work, and of course, we all look forward to that. That being said, I am overloading, flooded, overflowing with news, with news, with news, and we got a lot of news to bring to you tonight, so we're going to get right at it, and here it is. First story, right into the frying pan. We're turning up the heat tonight. Jews in Israelis, are worried about African immigration there in the desert sandbox known as Israel, yet they tell us that we are racist, xenophobic, bigoted, supremacist Nazis for having similar concerns here in America. This story, my friends, I've been doing this for 8 years now. I've been in this business long enough to know a thing or two about a thing or two. This story made my jaw drop, the utter hypocrisy. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, BB as they call him on Fox News, is warning that Israel could be swamped by illegal immigrants from Africa. The mounting number of migrants is high on the national agenda following a series of crimes, including rapes, Keith, that have been blamed on the newcomers, these being African immigrants. Netanyahu says the influx is threatening the fabric of Israeli society, its national security, and its national identity, end quote. He says that if it doesn't stop, the 60,000, they only have 60,000. 60,000 infiltrators are liable to become 600,000, and that could lead to the eradication of Israel as a Jewish state. So, again, Keith, the blind hypocrisy and double standards, it just hits you in the face like a Mack truck going 100 miles an hour. How in the world could the same people who have done so much to make America a multicultural third world hellhole? I mean, we're not there yet, but we're certainly rapidly going in that direction. How could those very same people live in the hypocrisy knowing that Israel, number one, is a segregated state. Israel is an apartheid state. And when anything is done that could possibly change that, this is what this is the reaction it gets, not from some so-called radical extremist Jew, but from Benjamin Netanyahu himself. Keith, take it from there, my friend, and make sense of it for me. I can't seem to do it.
Well, the hypocrisy is jaw-dropping, but of course, it's to be expected. You know, Jews throughout the diaspora, in other words, the area of the ground of the world other than Israel, the areas to which they were dispersed after the Romans finally threw up their hands and said, "We give up. These people are incapable of having their own nation. They are in, you know, just constant troublemakers. They're constantly causing Rome to send legions over there to quell rebellions and whatnot." So as a result, the Romans said, "You know, we're not going to be so cruel as to kill all of you. But what we're going to do is you can no longer have your own nation." That's why in AD 70, they tore down the Jewish temple and dispersed Jews. That's called the diaspora. In every nation of the diaspora, in other words, every nation in the world in which Jews live except for Israel, they are a minority, probably around 2 to 3% of the population, typically. They are the market-dominant minority par excellence. In other words, like in America, for example, they're 2.2% of the population, but they control a third of the wealth, a third of the admission slots at highly selective colleges and universities like Harvard and Yale. They are in total control of the movie industry. All eight major movie studios have a Jewish CEO now, but nonetheless, throughout the diaspora, they are a corrosive influence. They're constantly trying, as Kevin MacDonald has pointed out, doing yeoman service in books like The Culture of Critique, they try to undermine the dominant racial or ethnic group of whatever nation, host nation, they find themselves in. Of course, in America and in Europe, they are the primary proponents, the primary movers and shakers for open borders. But in their own nation, they've built a wall to keep out Palestinians that makes the Great Wall of China look like a tinker toy. Now, apparently, even that wall isn't sufficient to keep out black Africans who are squeezing in like cockroaches, apparently, into Israel now. And 60,000 has just imagine that Bibi Netanyahu is the head of the Israeli government. Imagine if the president of the United States said something similar to this. I mean, the ADL, the ACLU and whatnot, they would be in high dudgeon. They would be asking for impeachment. They would say, you know, do the honorable thing and commit suicide. But of course, and you point out this stunning hypocrisy to Jewish leaders. You know, how can you be the biggest proponents of open borders when you're in everyone else's nation, but in your own nation, you are the biggest proponents for racial exclusivity? They just shrug their shoulders. That's, you know, such a typical Jewish response. But, you know, we need to understand that these people don't have the truth in them, James. This is proof positive they don't. So consequently, we're just going to have to disregard them. That's what we should do to Jewish so-called concerns about equity and multiculturalism and racial diversity. Always. They're always hypocritical.
Folks, we'll be back with more. We're not going to leave this story just yet because the plot thickens, as they say, and we're going to tell you the rest of the story right after this. Stay tuned. We're just getting started.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't misunderstand me, baby. Don't let me be.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Available now, at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
America has lost her way, lost her morning, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-born wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience. What actually worked? As settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, my friends, and welcome back. Happy Memorial Day weekend to each and every one of you. Memorial Day weekend also is the starting point for our quarterly fundraising drive for the Political Cesspool's second quarter. It takes money to keep us on the air. As you well know, we are a listener-supported broadcast. We've got a great incentive for you this quarter, a premium incentive. It's a DVD of one of the most riveting and enthralling speeches I have ever heard, and it's Sam Bushman's speech entitled "He Who Owns the Media Makes the Rules." It ties in directly to what we're doing here on the airwaves each and every Saturday night with TPC. Just a little teaser for you. We'll talk a little bit more in detail about our fundraising drive for the second quarter, which not only will help keep our show on the air, but a percentage of the donations will also kick back to the network and help bolster everything that they're doing and the work that Sam is doing in syndicating our show and getting it out to affiliate stations across the country. We're all working together in cooperation, but more on that forthcoming a little later on tonight. Getting back to our original story, the thing we're kicking off the program with tonight, American media would call incendiary, extremist, racist rhetoric. Well, that's coming from the lips of Benjamin Netanyahu. He is saying that the African immigrants coming in over there are, what did he call them? Let me find the word here. Infiltrators, Keith. He called them infiltrators. And imagine this. He is blaming the Sudanese immigrants, the undocumented Sudanese, I guess they would call them here, for an increase in crime in Israel, including rapes. Imagine that. Now, haven't we been talking about this for years here? Obviously, this is what happens. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And at any rate, so Israel is up in arms. They're upset over there about the immigration. Now, unlike them, unlike Netanyahu and his cohorts in the media here in America, I am not going to be a hypocrite. I sympathize with the Jewish people on this issue as a matter of policy, where I split with them at, and I sympathize with them basically because all people should have a right to have a homeland for their for themselves, sovereign and unique to their own cultural heritage. The Sudanese should have it, and in fact they do. It's a place called Sudan, okay? The Jews should have it. We should have it across the board. There's no hypocrisy there. The hypocrisy comes. BB says stuff like this. He's a darling. We say stuff like this, and, well, we're anything but. But listen, here's the thing. It's not just the fact that there is this sort of rhetoric over there. What's going on over there, and here's a follow-up to the story as the plot thickens, are actions that white Southerners were always getting blamed for, this sort of alleged behavior during the so-called civil rights era. Here's what's going on. As a result of this immigration crisis, you know, they got 60,000 of them over there, Keith. You know, how many we got over here? How many tens of millions? But demonstrators in Israel who are upset and share Benjamin Netanyahu's concerns about this matter have been attacking African immigrants over there, while others are lighting garbage cans on fire and smashing car windows. Folks, this isn't some wacky report that I picked up on the nether regions of the internet. This is from, the biggest paper in Israel is reporting this, matter-of-factly. Another group of demonstrators in Israel stopped a shuttle taxi and searched for migrant workers. This is, I'm reading directly from the story here, among the passengers while banging on the windows. The crowd cried, "The people want the Sudanese deported. Infiltrators, get out of our home." The leader of the Likud party in Israel participated in the protest, saying that the Sudanese are a cancer in our body. Following the protest, so this would be akin to the chairman of the Republican Party or the chairman of the Democratic Party saying that illegal aliens from Mexico are a cancer in our body. It would be like Barack Obama saying these infiltrators are altering the fabric of our society, which in fact they may be. But following the protest, the story continues, hundreds of people assembled in this main street in a certain neighborhood. Several protesters smashed the windows of grocery stores that served the migrant workers, broke the windows of a barbershop, and looted it. Okay, these are the Israelis doing this with apparently the support of Benjamin Netanyahu and the leader of the most prominent party in that country, saying that they're a cancer, Keith, lighting neighborhoods on fire, smashing car windows, beating immigrants. I issued a call to the ADL and to the SPLC. I want to see Benjamin Netanyahu put on the hate watch list with me and James Dobson and Pat Buchanan and Ralph Reed. As someone commented on our site earlier this week about this story, Keith, and I'm going to turn it over to you, this true story is looking like the worst Hollywood movies about the South during the so-called civil rights era. Now, let me say this, and let me be clear. I absolutely disavow the lawlessness that the Israelis are employing, although I certainly agree with their fundamental position. It's natural to want a home of your own. However, if what's good for the goose is good for the gander, I once again want to reissue my petition to Abe Foxman of the ADL and Mark Potok of the SBLC to place each of these Jews on the hate watch list. What are you waiting for, gentlemen? And Keith, what are they waiting for? I mean, shouldn't these people be denounced as Jewish supremacists? But I'll tell you this. I mean, they're actually breaking the law. They're actually getting violent, something that I've never done or anyone that I've associated with has ever done. And I almost run the risk of rambling now. But this story is so incredible. The hypocrisy is so daring. I lack the ability to articulate, so I turn it to you.
Look, I can guarantee you one thing. There is no other media outlet in the entire United States of America or Europe covering this story just like we're doing it right now. The jaw-dropping hypocrisy of it all is stunning. You know, unlike James, I don't have any sympathy for Israel and the Israelis. It couldn't happen to a nicer bunch. This is turnabout is fair play. I'm just waiting for them to make a In the Heat of the Night movie about the pot-bellied Jewish sheriff who is rounding up the poor, innocent, godly Sudanese people, you know, and they'll have Sidney Poitier playing the head Sudanese guy saying defiantly to the Jewish sheriff, "They call me Mr. Tibbs." You know, I doubt whether Hollywood, which is dominated by Jews, intends to do anything like that, but see, this is just, you know, you can't change human nature. And the Israelis are reacting just like any other group of humans would do. Now, as far as racial violence in the South in the face of the cataclysmic changes that were forced upon the South by outsiders during the Civil Rights Movement, the only thing that is surprising to me is that there is so little violence considering the massive nature of the change and the corrosive and destructive effect of this change. You know, we How many Hollywood movies have they made about the Philadelphia, Mississippi murders of Andrew Goodman and Mickey Schwerner, who were both Jewish red diaper babies from New York? Goodman from a wealthy Upper West Side family, Schwerner from a less privileged background, and of course Cheney was a local black guy from Mississippi. The guys that wound up killing them didn't even know they were Jewish. They just thought they were ultra-obnoxious Yankees. See, Jews weren't on the radar screen of Southerners because, and, you know, just remember, the Civil Rights Movement was Great Neck, Long Island, coming down to Birmingham. It wasn't Birmingham going up to Great Neck or to New York. Imagine the reception that Southerners, white Southern Gentiles, would have gotten if they'd gone up to New York City and started trying to integrate Jewish society and telling them that they needed to abandon their traditional folkways. You see that Jews have a double standard. Mine is mine and what's yours is ours is their watchword. They apparently feel no compunction about destroying other people's societies and other people's cultures and other people's nations, but they are, you know, defiantly adamant about maintaining their own racial integrity. We'll get back to this right after the break.
Stay tuned, everybody. We are just getting warmed up here on the Political Cesspool. We'll be right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number three, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com, a bright light for the right.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. All right, my friends, welcome back. Laid-back holiday edition. I say laid-back. It feels a little bit more relaxed, although the topics we're going to be tackling tonight and the topics we're tackling already are certainly as heavy as anything you might find on any given week here in the political cesspool. I'm James Edwards. He's Keith Alexander, talking about an issue going on in Israel that, had it happened in Serbia, they'd be getting bombed, I guess, Keith. Yeah. But anyway, you laugh to keep from crying at the double standards that people can employ with a stone face. Keith, I'm going to turn it over to you for a couple of final words before we shift gears and get into a story that hits a little bit closer to home. So over to you for a quick cherry on the cake here with the story out of Israel.
What this shows, besides the stunning hypocrisy of the Jewish authorities and Jewish power and influence in their own home nation, and by implication, Jews everywhere, because I've heard no outcry from any of these Jewish human rights groups like the ADL or the SPLC or the ACLU denouncing any of these activities by the Jewish government in Israel. As they say, the silence is deafening. This shows you why we insist upon talking about Jewish power and influence and race. Those were the two taboo topics, I'm sure, that James referenced in his blog entry that he was supposed to try to stay away from in order to get funded by this Daddy Warbucks character, and we told him to go packing, or to get packing. It shows you why it is so important to be what we call Jew-wise. Jews disguise themselves. Jews don't announce themselves. In fact, if you even mention the J word in the mainstream media, you are getting, a quick ticket to oblivion. You're going to be banished to the outer regions of the universe for even talking about it. But there's no way to make sense of the culture war and the triumph of liberalism in America without knowing about Jewish power and influence. And this shows you exactly why we always focus on it. It's not Muslims, for example. You see all of these mainstream conservatives going after Muslims. Muslims don't make up 50% of the ACLU. Muslims, you're not hearing... Yeah, right. You know, they don't own 100% of Hollywood. They're not all of the CEOs of all the movie studios. They're not in charge of higher academia in America. They're not the most liberal segment of American, at least the white population in America. So consequently, they don't own one third of the wealth of America. And that's why they are throughout the world. So consequently, we are going to focus on this, and we're going to tell people that you've got to understand, you're never going to understand the triumph of liberalism unless you are totally unabashed about naming and shaming the Jewish instigators of it.
And, of course, is that to say that every person of Jewish descent is a part of the problem? Absolutely not. I mean, don't be ridiculous. We've had quite a few Jews on this program who we would go so far as to say are friends of ours and are working to find common solutions with us. But the fact still remains, it is what it is. Most of the Jews, the vast majority, in fact, Zionist Jews that are in positions of power, be it in government, academia, entertainment, etc., are working against the best interest of traditional Americans. And, of course, that puts them in league with the vast majority of whites in positions of power. I think you could easily say most whites, most Gentiles in positions of power in academia or in entertainment or in government are certainly working against us as well. So they have that in common. And speaking of the government, we've got something coming up here. Obama has signed into law a new bill that will grant federal agents the power to arrest and bring felony charges against citizens engaged in protests where the Secret Service is present. In other words, practicing your God-given freedom of speech in view of the Secret Service could now land you up to 1 year in jail, which is the definition of a felony. And this is a law that was met with support from both Republicans and Democrats alike. Let's play this clip. Judge Andrew Napolitano talking on Fox News.
Well, it's a bill that has received very little attention, but may make free speech a felony and seriously restrict your right to political protest. Just signed into law by the president, H.R. 347 gives federal agents sweeping powers to arrest and bring felony charges against citizens engaged in protests where the Secret Service is present. Joining us now with more, Fox News senior judicial analyst, good friend, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, the thing that strikes out, jumps out off the page, felony?
Yeah, felony means more than a year in jail. This is not like a traffic ticket. For standing and protesting, the type of thing that for 230 years Americans took for granted because it was protected by the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, has actually been abridged by legislation the president signed last Thursday, supported overwhelmingly by both parties, with very, very little public debate and very little debate in Congress. Basically allows Secret Service agents to decide where there are no free speech zones, not speech zones, no free speech zones. And anybody by the Secret Service can, protected by the Secret Service, can ask those agents to ban protests wherever they are. So I can think of three violations: speech violations, association violations, the right to petition the government for a redress of your grievances. What good is free speech if the people in the government are so far away from you that they can't hear you?
Judge, what about keeping our elected officials safe?
Keeping our elected officials safe is entirely different from insulating them from protest. The fact that the president is going to a hotel up the block should not bar you from standing across the street with a sign or with a bullhorn saying what you think about the president's policies. That is not a threat to him, and it is a part of American history since day one that we have the right to speak freely to, about, and against those in the government.
Judge, you think this is going to be one of those laws that is on the books, but not enforced?
I think it's one of those laws that's going to be enforced when the government wants it enforced. The problem, Eric, is it puts a lot of unbridled discretion in the hands of Secret Service agents who may very well say, you know what, boss, you've had a rough day. We'll keep everybody away from you. Or, you know what, boss, this crowd likes you, so we're going to let them. We're going to let you hear them. That's suppressing speech on the basis of its content. And that has been expressly prohibited by the First Amendment since day one.
What dictates the Secret Service is present? In other words, aren't they present all over Washington, D.C.?
Well, they are, and that's a great question, because this law also allows the president to give Secret Service protection to whoever he wants. I'll give you a bizarre example. His campaign managers are coming to Washington to confer with him about the campaign. He can give them Secret Service protection. And then the Secret Service can say to the kids in the streets, you can't shout at David Axelrod, because the campaign manager, because the Secret Service is protecting him. This is a slow, creeping destruction of some of our basic liberties, and the president signed it in secret.
And now some of the Secret Service are going to be providing services for the candidates now as well.
Correct.
Right? So
correct.
People aren't going to be able to have their opinion about the candidates?
If the Secret Service so declares, you won't be able to shout at
Judge,
them.
Judge, got to go. The economy's not bad. Sorry about that.
Keith, absolutely scary. Did you ever think you would live long enough to see a day like this happened in America? Judge Andrew Napolitano, by the way, that was a clip you just heard from him on Fox News. It's no wonder with a voice like that, that he was fired by Fox News. Absolutely outstanding commentary. And this is a law that, you know, this actually happened about a month and a half ago. And I just found out about it this week, and so we put it up on the blog. But, I mean, how many other people are not aware that you can now go to jail for exercising your freedom of speech in view of the Secret Service?
Well, it really doesn't surprise me at all after the passage of the so-called Patriot Act under that paragon of conservatism, George W. Bush. Basically, they called it the Patriot Act for a purpose. It basically suspended all of the Bill of Rights as far as it applies to individuals and to states. And for example, they can violate your Fourth Amendment right to search and seizure without, you know, a warrant, for example. And is it surprising at all that now they're clamping down on protest and the exercise of the First Amendment? Not at all. And again, don't be confused. This shows that this is a handiwork of Jewish power and influence. Once again, Jewish, you can see that apparently whoever crafted this law doesn't have much respect for the founding fathers of America. Well, Jews typically have no respect for the founding fathers' handiwork or their outlook or what their intentions were. You know, they just roll their eyes when you start talking about the original intent of the founders of the Constitution. That's because none of the founders of the Constitution were Jewish, James.
Well, we're going to take a break right there. When we come back, it's going to be right back to Keith Alexander for more commentary, opinion, and insight, expert analysis on this story as presented by Andrew Napolitano here in that clip. We'll be right back.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Has it been 47 minutes or 47 seconds? I'm looking at the clock here in the studio. It says it's 6:47 Central Time here in Memphis. And I tell you, it is flying by because we are really bringing out the guns this evening. If you think the first hour has been hard-hitting, wait until you get the rest of the show. During the second and third hour, it's going to be equally hardcore during our Memorial Day weekend presentation of the Political Cesspool Radio program. Welcome back, everyone. I'm James Edwards, Keith Alexander here. And that last clip, I mean, if that didn't scare you, I guess I'm going to have to go home and get my Halloween costume and do a video feed because, folks, that's something else. There is now a law in place supported by both sides of Congress, Keith. The Republicans and the Democrats have backed Obama in signing into law this new bill that could make a criminal out of anyone who practices the freedom of speech when a candidate or an elected official or whomever is under Secret Service protection. You yell at them, you say, I don't agree with you on this issue, and the Secret Service is there. You could, by the letter of the law, go to jail for up to a year. It's not a traffic ticket, as they said in the clip. It is a felony.
Well, you know, it just shows, since both parties support this, that George Wallace was absolutely right when he said there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. I think he said they're both wings of the same vulture. This is proof positive of the truth of and the wisdom of George Wallace, who's portrayed as some type of snaggletoothed hillbilly that uses corn cobs for toilet paper and whatnot, by your typical history text that's taught that's teaching your children in not only public but private schools in America today. When are we going to realize that these old Southern segregationists knew exactly what was coming down the pike, and if we had heeded their warnings, we wouldn't be in the predicament that we're in today?
And I'd like to say something to that, Keith, not to interrupt you, but I'd like to say something, and people would say, oh, you're talking about Southern segregationists, you know, you must be talking about Klansmen. You must be talking about people who did in the South what everybody apparently over in Israel is doing this week.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, that's not what we're talking about. I mean, we're talking about, who are we talking about? We're talking about my grandparents. We're talking about my great-grandparents. You're talking about my family. People who, from a Christian perspective, just thought it would be better off for all parties concerned if the association was kept at a distance. And that's what we're talking about here. So, you know, I can personalize it. When you're talking about these people, you're talking about me. You're talking about Keith. You're talking about great people, in my humble opinion, not to say that we're great or better than anyone else, but you're talking about decent people that go out and work for a living, provide for their family, try to live right. And we just have a difference of opinion on certain issues that have now been declared to be taboo. But anyway, I just wanted to offer that clarifier, Keith.
Well, you know, my father said he didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democratic Party left him. Basically, people in red state America, that's what they call it now. They called it the South in the 1960s. Spiro Agnew called it the silent majority. Say whatever you will. Basically, most right-thinking Americans think that America and America's governing elite have lost their collective minds, and this is a perfect example of it. You know, again, Jewish power and influence lurks behind all of this. And as I said, Jewish power and influence has no respect whatsoever for the U.S. Constitution of 1787. They have no, you know, you can quote Jefferson and Madison and George Mason and Alexander Hamilton and other people till you're blue in the face and they just roll their eyes. They think they're a bunch of witless goyim because none of the founding fathers were Jewish. And once they came over, that was the fateful day for America back in the second wave of immigration from 1890 to 1920. That's when they reached critical mass. Every group that has immigrated to America since the founding of the nation, the people that were there before called the founding stock, brought a negative to America. And what Jews brought to America that was negative was hard left politics, anarchism and Marxism, and cultural Marxism is what is responsible for these changes that we're noting in this show tonight in the fabric of America. And, you know, you see that when these same type of changes are manifesting themselves in the state of Israel, the Israelis clamp down tighter than, you know, the old Soviet Union would have.
And here's the difference between them and us. I would never in a million years be so bold as to try and alter the way they run their affairs in Israel. I would never go to Israel or have a group of my people go to Israel and disrespect that country by trying to change the laws, by trying to change the culture. I sympathize with them as a matter of policy with the problem that they have with the immigrants from Sudan or the illegal aliens from Sudan, whatever you want to call them. Obviously, I split hairs with the acts of violence that they are committing against them. But as far as a matter of policy, yes, I agree with the Israelis that they should not be allowed in if the Israelis do not want them in. And again, this is where the hypocrisies and the double standards come into play. That being said, we're going to shift gears here. Folks, let me ask you this. Are you liking the show tonight? Are you enjoying the show tonight, the show that we give you each and every week, hard-hitting political commentary, dealing with the issues of race, politics, and hypocrisy in the world today, the likes of which you're not going to find anywhere else? If you like it, if you're enjoying it, if you're being informed or entertained tonight, donate to the Political Cesspool. A portion of your donation will go back to Liberty News Radio Network that syndicates us. It's we're all for one and one for all here. You donate over $100, and some of that's going to kick back to the network because the premium incentive we're offering for you during the second quarter fundraising drive, which just kicked off yesterday, is Sam Bushman's speech, a DVD of it. He Who Owns the Media Makes the Rules ties in directly to our work here on the air. And a couple of people already ordered it yesterday. It was the day in which our second quarter fundraising drive kicked off. But I want you to give, and folks, I want you to give a lot. How much is a lot? Well, it's more than a little and less than too much. Give what you can. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight and read more about the fundraising drive there in the blog article entitled Not for Sale. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on. But very quickly here, and we're going to try to wrap this hour up before going into the second hour on a clean slate. Here is the story out of Tennessee over on the eastern side of the state in Knoxville. The headline reads, Man who fathered 30 children, fathered being in quotations on this one, man who fathered 30 children says he needs a break on the child support. A Tennessee man who has fathered 30 children is asking the courts for a break. Desmond Hatchett, he's 33 years old, gentlemen and ladies, and he has children with 11 different women, 33 years old, 30 children, 11 women. The state already takes half of his minimum wage paycheck and divides it up. Some of the mothers receive as little as $1.49 a month. The oldest child is 14 years old. Hatchett explains how he reached such a critical mass. He had four kids in the same year, twice. We're going to play a quick clip and then turn it over to Keith. Listen to this.
Search and rescue equipment. A Tennessee man holds a county record in Knoxville. Listen to this. He's the father of 30 children. And he's only 33 years old. Desmond Hatchett was back in court this week pleading with the state to help him pay his child support. He's the father of 30 kids with 11 different women, and each of them wants support. The state already takes half his paycheck and divides it up. His oldest child is only 14. His youngest is a toddler. There is nothing the state can do to make him stop having more kids. He has not broken any laws.
We go to the end of the hour, but basically this man believes he deserves to have the state, i.e. the taxpayers, subsidize what he's doing. For what it's worth, he's keeping his quiver full, as the Bible instructs us to do.
Right. Let's guess the ethnicity or race of this individual. We haven't mentioned that yet, but of course he's black. And, of course, because he's black, he thinks that the government is the answer to everything, and so, consequently, all of his problems should be foisted on the government. He thinks it's, a pernicious, honky plot that they have this thing called child support that he's supposed to pay. In other words, the rest of us are supposed to pay. But, of course, thanks to the tender ministrations of the ACLU, the National Lawyers Guild, and a lot of other Jewish activist groups, this guy should be in jail. If he were in Israel, he would be in jail, and he would also be sterilized, and then he would be kicked out of the country. But, of course, in America, we have to tolerate this, and we can't take more than 50% of his measly income. So, consequently, some of these children are getting the whopping sum of $1.49 a month. to help defray the expenses of raising them, which means, you know, just like the Holly said, he ain't heavy, he's our brother. So the rest of us, i.e. the responsible white population of America, is having to support slubs like this Desmond Hatchett guy. Now, this is more of the plot to disable our civilization in nature. When we have to do things like this, there's no way that we can have a functioning country.
Folks, if you enjoyed the first hour, wait till you see, wait till you hear what we've got in store for you during hours 2 and 3, and they're coming your way right after a little bit of news from the network. We'll be back with you here on the Political Cesspool Radio Program, Memorial Day Weekend Edition. I'm James, he's Keith. Stay tuned.
Survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room, all the way down to the 8th.